We go now to Syria, where the Yarmouk camp for Palestinian refugees located just a few miles outside of Damascus has come under fire again from the self-proclaimed Islamic State. Over the weekend, about 2,000 people managed to flee the camp as two exits were open, but Palestinian officials report that ISIS has control of 60% of the camp and as many as 18,000 civilians remain trapped there. Joining me now from Jerusalem, Christopher Gunness, spokesman for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees. Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you very much indeed, Todd.
Give us the latest in this situation at Yarmouk, if you would. When did it come under increased attack, and what is the situation for people inside the camp?
Just under a week ago, the current round of intense fighting began, and it has descended now into a state of depravity and inhumanity that's almost unimaginable. The refugees are holed up in their homes, their battered homes. There is war, conflict raging in the streets outside. There are unconfirmed reports of aerial bombardments of the camp. What we need is a pause. We need the warring parties on the ground to show maximum restraint so that we can have humanitarian access, so that there can be an evacuation of civilians that need to leave. And it's an urgent action that we require immediately.
So fighting is raging in and around the camp, Christopher Gunness. Who is fighting against ISIS in this situation, defending the camp?
Look, it's very difficult for us to say, because don't forget, we've not had access to the camp since the fighting began. We, of course, are speaking to the people inside the camp, but UNRWA is an unarmed humanitarian organization, and we're not able to go street to street checking what's happening. So it's impossible for me to say which groups are active in which parts of the camp, which groups are holding, you know, what percentage of the camp, I'm afraid.
Is there any insight into why ISIS would want to target such a place? What's in it for them?
Look, it's unclear. I mean, I'm certainly not inside the minds of the ISIS strategists. But, you know, Yarmouk is near the heart of the Syrian capital, and it's a strategically important place because it's the sort of southern gateway, if you like, into Damascus.
Can food and supplies get in at this point?
No, they can't, and that's particularly worrying. We've been unable to deliver any assistance, food or medicine or water, since the fighting began, which is why we are saying, can we please have a pause, maximum restraint from the warring parties on the ground to allow us to have humanitarian access, and also for civilians who wish to be evacuated to do so. The Security Council is meeting, and we hope that they will exert the necessary political pressures to make these things happen.
Is there any track record, Christopher Gunness, despite all of the other horrors and atrocities that we've seen, and there have been many, is there any track record of ISIS responding to pleas like yours from the United Nations, responding to pleas for temporary pauses for humanitarian efforts?
Well, interestingly, following our call precisely for maximum restraint and for people to be evacuated, there was modest good news yesterday when 94 people, 43 women, 20 children, the rest civilian men, were allowed to evacuate. Now, I'm not saying that's because ISIS are listening on their shortwave radios to what I'm saying being broadcast on the airwaves. But I think that, you know, the world is watching with revulsion the horrendous scenes of inhumanity in the camp. And let us simply hope that those with the guns are people of conscience who realize that civilians do need to be spared, that it's completely senseless to be putting women and children and other civilians in harm's way.
Is it still the case that up to 18,000 civilians remain trapped at Yarmouk?
Indeed, Todd, it is. There are 18,000 people, Palestine refugees and Syrians, ordinary Syrians. But amongst those, it's important to note there are 3,500 children. Again, that's why we're saying that there must be respect for international humanitarian law obligations to protect civilians, because these civilians must not come in harm's way.
Can we expect, Christopher Gunness, before we let you go, any different response from ISIS to this situation than we saw last year or earlier in this conflict with Yazidi refugees driven to the top of a mountain in northwestern Iraq? Now, ISIS drove them there intentionally, of course, but it was a situation of civilian siege that maybe has some similarities here.
Well, I wouldn't like to draw similarities with that desperate situation that you refer to. All I would say is that we've seen a small number of evacuees, and if you can get a small number out, you can get a large number out. So let's build, if we can, on what we've achieved, and let's make sure that civilian life, women, children, the elderly, the sick, the dying, that they are spared, because I have no doubt that there is grave threat to civilian life this hour in Yarmouk.
Christopher, thank you.
My pleasure.
Christopher Gunness is spokesman for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in Jerusalem. More on the origins of ISIS, that's coming up later this hour.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.